Good evening. This Friday is not, we have something going here Friday that's not pickleball, so it won't be available this Friday. I was just thinking of something, now I can't remember what it was. I'm going to bounce around a little bit. We're going to take a look at what I think is probably, I think when you look through the fog that's going on in the world, all of the smoke screens and everything else, really where we're at and where the world is heading. And so I'm gonna share a number of different things. Some of you may already know about, maybe you don't. It's kind of interesting that way back in the late 80s, early 90s, when I started going to Calvary Chapel, and the pastor was teaching prophecy, and when I went, they had on Monday night's Revelation and talking about how the two prophets are going to come, the whole world is going to see them. And how they're already talking about microchipping back then and all the different things that people would go, no, that's never going to happen. Oh, there's no way that can happen. And we see it all kind of converging, the culmination of all the technologies and everything else that's going on in the world. Very interesting. So I'm going to see if I can. Why don't you open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 7. And Lord, we just ask that you would meet us here and be in this, Lord, that it would be even more evident that our hope is in you and you alone, as this world is groping in the dark for hope and to make their own way. Lord, we acknowledge that you have made a way for us. And so, Lord, just speak to our hearts. Lord, let them be still and at peace and stayed as the world is raging, Lord. Lord, let your church be comforted in these times. And so we just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. And I was going to read a couple of different things. And starting at verse 15 of chapter 7, it says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. And Daniel, we know, had a number of visions that Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, some of them were conversations with the angel Gabriel, bringing answers to the questions, answers to the prayers that he had. And it's kind of interesting that, it's sad, but even during Jesus' day and in the old time, they only read the Torah. The Jews and the Pharisees and the scribes only read the Torah and the Psalms. They did not read the prophets and the prophecies, and especially Daniel, because Daniel was considered too holy to even be read or searched by human hands. And it's sad because it's in Daniel that was given the prophecy of the coming of Messiah, that the children of Israel would know the day that he would come. I'm not going to get into the 70 weeks of Daniel, so to speak, the first 69 weeks, 173,880 days from the time of Nehemiah, March 14th, 445 BC, till when he rode in on a donkey, April 10th, 32 AD, I believe it was, on Palm Sunday. And so Jesus rode in, but it was when Jesus rode in that he looked upon Jerusalem and he wept. And the word that is used there is he was convulsing in his weeping. It was deeply moved as he looked upon it, because he looked upon Jerusalem and said, "If you had known, had you known even this day, the day of your visitation," which he held them accountable, because he had given them, God had given them the very day that the Messiah would come, that Christ would ride in. You know, it was during the Passover, it was the expectation. That's why Passover was one of the feasts that was to be, that they were to observe, and every male was to go and take part of. But it was also a time of the hope of every woman, that they would be chosen to bring the Messiah into the world. And it was all revolved, it was believed that it would happen during Passover, that the Messiah would come. And so Jesus, you know, and the scribes and the Pharisees, and when he addressed them, you know, he had something to say about the fact that they would not search that they only read the law and the Psalms. They had knowledge of the Word of God, but had no clue about what God was telling them and was instructing them concerning salvation and the Savior of the world. And so Jesus wept and gave the indication that had they read the prophets and understood the prophets, that they would have known that he was, in fact, the Messiah that was coming in. And so this coming from Daniel, and certainly very quite possibly the visions, and we know Zechariah, Isaiah, many, Isaiah 53, Zechariah has a lot of things to say about Messiah, but also the last days, Daniel, certainly about the last days. And so it says in verse 17, those great beasts which are four kings which arise out of the earth. And now the interesting thing, we know that the one vision was of the four kingdoms, Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, then the Medo-Persian, followed by the Grecian, the Greece, Alexander the Great, that would be taken over by, it would be split into four, and that I think is in chapter 8, but that the four generals would be given parts of what Alexander had conquered in the name of Greece, and then the Roman Empire. And some will take this and the great beasts, which are four kings, and put it with that other vision of the coming kingdoms. One had already existed. When Daniel is writing this, he was in Babylon, all right? So the interesting thing about this scripture in the Hebrew, that where it says arise, it is will arise, meaning it had not, they had not arisen. And in the language, you almost have, you have to separate or take this out of the other vision that spoke of Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. That these are nations that will arise in the future, at some future time. And so it says, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, devoured broken pieces, trampled the residue with its feet, and the ten horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, before which three fell. And we know that one of the interpretations, and it's kind of hard to be dogmatic. There are different ideas of what the interpretations might be. We know that the original European Union was to be of 10 nations, and so many thought that this was speaking of the European Union. But now we know that the European Union is many more nations than that, and the England, United Kingdom, has removed itself from it. And so it's possible, we don't need dogmatic. Others believe that it might be 10 regions on the globe. But it's talking about horns. Horns are authority and power, so there are going to be 10 authorities or powers on the earth, three which are going to have to be subdued, that this one horn, and the reason why we're talking about this is you'll see, because we're on the cusp, and the emergence of everything that's going on around us right now is colliding, is coming to a intersection for the one horn to be able to come in. But I find it interesting, if it is nations, there are three authorities right now that seem to stick out: Russia, China, and the United States of America. That may, you know, that are all flexing its muscles to a certain extent, and are going to be very hard for the nations to bring under control, to remove their autonomy, right? One of the things we see our president giving away, what's the word? I said autonomy. It's not that, though. Our sovereignty. Thank you. I'm trying to pull a bunch of things together, so some words are going to probably elude me as we're doing this. So this is participation night. This is, and I'm going to need your help. Long way. This is more laid back, but we're kind of looking at what's going on and what the scriptures and certainly things that we have searched and understand that are going on. But so there is something that that speaks to the time that we find ourselves in now. If it is, and we're going to talk about this. Look, the world authorities, the globalists, are centralized in what would be the European Union right now. We'll take a look at that. You all understand that, right? It's not in the United States, or it's not in China, it's not in Russia. Follow the money, and you'll know where the power and the authority is. And that's what all the wranglings are about that are even going on in the globe right now. But so we have this, the 10 horns, the other horn which came up, we're going to see Antichrist, before which three fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth, which spoke pompous words, great things, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them, until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. And so, and saints, Old Testament, we know that saints referring in the New Testament, referring to those followers of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the saints refers to the children of Israel, those whose faith was accounted to them as righteousness. And we know that, so that's speaking of the nation of Israel in end times. And it's Daniel who's given the vision, the 70 weeks. And I talked about the 173,880 days from the time of the building that was in Nehemiah for them to go back. Artaxerxes told Nehemiah to go back and rebuild the wall and the city. That is when the prophecy, the prophecy calendar starts, to the time Jesus rode in to Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey, fulfilling so many of the different prophecies. There's still so it's 70 weeks. That was 69 weeks. It said 7 and 62 weeks. I don't know if I marked that, but just so you know, that's 483 years, 360 days, all kinds of different computations that go into that, which means that there's a 7-year period still yet to come to pass, a prophecy of the 70th week of Daniel. Now, there are some that believe if it was 32 AD when Jesus Christ rode in and fulfilled the prophecy of the first 69 weeks of Daniel, there are some that say that the other 7 years, or the other seven, right, the 70th week was fulfilled in AD 70, right? 70th week. So, which could not be the case. So there's a 7 year period, because that would bring you to 40 AD and or 39 AD, right? So that it has nothing to do with the tearing down of the temple, the Romans coming in and tearing down the temple. So there is a 7 year period, 1 week, that is still to play out. And it says, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. The ten horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times in the law. Then the saints shall be given into his hands for times and half a time. We know that times and half a time, 1260 days, all refer to the time of the Great Tribulation, which is during the 70th week of Daniel, the last 7 years, known as the Tribulation period, and then the last 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation. And there's all kinds of explanations, and this group believes this, you know, about the Great Tribulation, and you can't call the 7 years the tribulation period because it only talks about 3.5 years of Great Tribulation. But Revelation very clearly is a 7 year period because it says it is. So we're not going to get into all of those arguments. But the interesting thing is the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms. Now, Daniel has the vision of the 4 kingdoms, the last which is Rome. We know that Rome, and understand that Rome was not conquered. Cicero saw what was going on and that it was heading towards a ruler, somebody ruling over it again, leaving the praetorian, was it the senate, and how their governance was being done. So they killed Cicero, and Rome started to die from the inside. Many of you probably are reading some of the predictions for 2024, that's what they have planned for the United States of America, to somehow bring disunity and chaos, maybe through electronic disruptions. You know, cell phones stop working and screens stop working. This generation we've got coming up are going to freak out. But you hear different rumblings and different plans. It might be telegraphed. Some of you may or may not know that the Obamas have a production company. It's called, I wrote it down, it's called Higher Ground Production. And they were part of a movie that they had on Netflix called Leave the World Behind. I was reading some of the excerpts from it. Some of the dialogue talks about what terrible people we are. And how, you know, how we treat each other and how we treat the planet and how we do this and everything else. Maybe we'd all be better off just killing ourselves, you know. Which may be telegraphing some of the plans that they have for the United States. I don't know, and I'm not really going to get into that because how it's going to happen, it's all going to be speculation. They're going to have to devalue the dollar is going to have to go to pot, and a bunch of different other things are going to happen. Which, who knows when and how it will happen, if it does. So, but we know this, there's a fourth kingdom. Now, Rome imploded from the inside. They didn't have any enemies that could take them. And so they ended up basically decaying and rotting from within, kind of what's happening in the United States of America today. The lack of morality and the deceit and the different things that we see going on, government, religion, all the other in our public schools and everything else. Very similar things are happening. But the thing is Rome, although politically and as a nation it died, it never really went away. You understand that, right? Because as it was dying politically and as a culture and society, what happened was the Holy Roman Catholic Church, Constantine Helena, came in. And Rome has continued throughout the centuries, not as a political powerhouse, but as a religious powerhouse through the state religion program that came out of that. You understand that, right? And so what this is talking about is a fourth, is the resurgence or the renewed Roman Empire coming to fruition, coming to authority and power again. What is being called the New World Order, or the Great Reset that you keep hearing about. It is going to be the Antichrist global governance, is basically what's happening. And so for 12 and a half, you know, we know that the last, that he's going to come in and he's going to, well, let's read that. In Daniel chapter 10, 70 weeks are determined. And let's start at 20. Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, 9, verse 20. And presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. Very interesting. This is, Daniel's probably about 83 years old. Remember, they were in exile for 70 years. It's about 3 years before Cyrus will likely come to power, and the prophecy that Isaiah gave that Cyrus would be the one that would send them back to rebuild the temple. So he's pretty aged, and even though the evening offerings or the evening oblations have not happened for nearly 70 years because the temple's been destroyed, Daniel in captivity along with Babylon has committed to not participate in any of the Babylonian religion, you know, or any of the mystical religions or anything else, still acknowledging, and no doubt he heard Jeremiah, knew of Jeremiah. He's probably reading the scrolls of Jeremiah and the things that, you know, that that went on with the temple. His heart was still for the things of the temple because it spoke obviously of the Messiah, the one that would come. And so he's getting all these visions. And it says 70 weeks are, or sorry, he says, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined, that's 70 sevens or 490 weeks, and it's talking about years, and we won't get into the whole, the understanding of it, but this is the interesting thing. As he's in captivity, and he is, and here's the evidence that he's certainly is going over poring over Jeremiah's scrolls, because it was Jeremiah that told the children of Israel that because of the 490 years that they disobeyed God and did not acknowledge or follow the yearly sabbatical for the land, or the every 7 years, the sabbatical for the land every 7 years, that was the reason God was taking them into captivity. And so it was 490 years that they ignored it, did not acknowledge it. And so they were taken into captivity for each of those seven-year periods that they ignored, and that's for 70 years. And so while they're in captivity for the 490 years, he gets a vision of prophecy of a 490-year period, or 77s. Pretty mind-blowing that God is doing this while Daniel is there in captivity. And so these 490 years, 70 weeks are determined for your people, for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. And certainly, to speaking of the coming of Messiah, but also for his second return, these will all be true. They're all true because he has finished it. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," he had finished the transgression. He made an end of sins because those who put their faith in him have forgiveness of sins, right? Make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and we're clothed in that righteousness. That's the promise that for those whose faith is in him and believe that he died for our sins and he's been resurrected and at the right hand of the Father again. Those are all true now and in action, and they will all be true when he sets down again and sets up his kingdom. So it's true about the millennial kingdom too, because some, you know, there's an argument, what does this, is it, does it just, you know, speak of what Christ did at the cross? Does it speak of the millennial kingdom? It's true of everything about Jesus Christ, because the work he did was for sins past, present, and future. It is perpetual from, you know, from the foundation of the world, and will be through or on into eternity as far as we're concerned. So it's to seal up vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy, and he is the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which is 69 weeks or 483 years. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublesome times. So there you go. That is speaking of when the wall and city are built till the time Jesus comes in. After the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people, the prince who is to come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood until the end of the war. Desolations are determined, and he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. And so this speaking of the tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel, that is going to be coming out, and we're, our hope is, and there's, you know, we know the argument, there are those that don't believe in the rapture of the church, that Christ is first coming on a cloud to call us up to be with him, but we do. And so after that moment in the twinkling of an eye when the church is removed, and we're going to see that the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, is removed, that's when the Antichrist can be revealed. But what we see happening in the world today is all moving towards that convergence, right? And so he's going to come in, he's with a peace, he's going to have a peace plan. Very interesting what's going on in Israel right now, and they certainly don't have a whole lot of fans across the world, their nation. And I think our support of them is veiled to a great extent. Yet, as long as we are, I mean, I think that Hopefully we're still under God's grace. But it's... In the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. So he's going to enter in. Jesus even warned the children of Israel in his Matthew 24 that when you see the abomination of desolation begin, as was prophesied by Daniel, then run. You just need to run. And that was specifically for the children of Israel, because that's going to happen during the tribulation period at the 3.5 year mark, 1260 days. So we have that, and understanding kind of what's going on in the prophecy from Daniel concerning the time that we're in right now. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians, you can turn to chapter 2 if you want, "Brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you," and that's the gathering together. In 1 Thessalonians, he talked about being caught up to be with him, harpasoed, taken by force, to be with him in a cloud, in the cloud. We know that when he, at his return, when his second advent, that he isn't going to be hidden in a cloud. He is going to be very visible, returning with his saints. And so this is an other event that the church is to anxiously hope for and be prepared for, and that's the gathering together to him, not to be soon shaken in mind, troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. It's the day of Christ, different than the return of Jesus Christ. And so, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, that is Antichrist, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Ultimately, that'll be the abomination of desolation. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. A person is restraining, which it can only be the person of the Holy Spirit that is at work in the church. Until the church is removed, the Holy Spirit is restraining the coming of this son of perdition. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, and we're going to take a look at it. I mean, everything that's going on right now is the preparation for the coming of this one who now restrains. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. And it's certainly the same thing that we saw talking about in Daniel 8. And understanding, you know, that so much of the church has been misguided because it got caught up in the signs and wonders, supposed movements of the Holy Spirit that were not of the Holy Spirit, because it doesn't match up what was going on with what the Word of God says and what the church, and we still need to be, because there are signs and wonders that are happening. I don't want to go down this road, but otherwise we're not going to get done. What's that? Yeah, you got time? Well, the pizza's going to be here at 8:30. Discernment, and because of the lack of discernment in the church, that has crept in, And sadly, it has led a lot of people away from the truth because not understanding what the Scripture says. There are some signs and wonders that are not of the Holy Spirit, that Satan and his demons, the fallen angels, they have been given certain powers and abilities. And Satan is a counterfeiter. And we need to be careful about what we attribute to God and the Holy Spirit and the things that are going on. So they're going to become with lying signs and wonders and all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And so they're taken away by these signs and wonders instead of the miraculous work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. Even the elect can be deceived by these things. And so we need discernment. We need to be wise. We need to understand what the Word of God says. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And so what we've seen, you know, going on, and certainly, and obviously, there's political upheavals. There are cultural, there's a lot of things going on, and cultural battles going on, you know, certainly for the minds of the people. And we'll talk about just the United States. Obviously, this is going on all over the globe. Some of those battles have already been won in many areas, right? And so we see what's going on here, and we've been, and then the church, and even in the church, the battles have been going on. Liberalism then went on to secular humanism and progressivism. There's been relativism. So where are we at now? These things have all, you know, when I look at the emergent church and the things that came out of the emergent church, that progressivism and relativism, really, you know, there is no hell. We need to take, you know, a thesis and antithesis, and we need to hear both sides and then have synthesis, bring them together and kind of settle in the middle. The Bible's not a settle in the middle thing. It's not a settle in the middle book. Yet we have this deception and these lies that came out during that period of the church that infiltrated so much of the church. And so, and we see it in our society today, obviously, in our culture, these things, and moving through. And where we find ourselves today is at transhumanism. And even in the church, transhumanism is coming. What's going on in the world today? I said there's a fog, there's a smoke screen that's going on in front of everybody. You know, you have the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. You have the World Economic Forum. You have the World Health Organization, the UN. You have, you know, the global banks. They're talking about digital currency and digitizing everything, right? Well, that's all a smokescreen and in front for what they're really looking at. The big thing this year is what? AI. They brought AI out to us. It's not something new. It's something they've been developing for a very long time. Part of the development, Mr. Kurd has the, what is that again called? Cochlear implant. That was part of the development of what we see going on right now, the intersection of genetic humanity and technology that's going to go even far beyond hearing. That's their plan. The Great Reset, global governance, global economy, global science, global information or misinformation, global technology, that's the plan. The Great Reset is what, and it's the front of the calling card of transhumanism. And what we need to understand is the power is not in Washington, D.C. or New York. It is in Switzerland. It's in Geneva. That's where most of these global organizations have been received and are being funded. Global climate change, just another smokescreen for what's going on. You know, one of the things, this is my prediction. The UN is not going to be the global authority moving forward. The World Health Organization is. They have just signed a treaty. Almost every country in the nation has handed over their sovereignty to the World Health Organization, who is now going to be able to determine what is a world health crisis and then direct and instruct every nation in how they are to address it. But even in it, more interesting, you know, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, they're the ones that are kind of driving this global, the climate change religion that's going on today. It's just another religion. Our government, our administration just pledged $17.5 million in the reparations fund to the European Union. I'm not going to get too into it. Prince Charles is a huge champion of this global climate, you know, buying carbon and things and this, everything else. He actually came out and said that it's going to need about $5 trillion to combat the man-made cow fart part issues of the world. $5 trillion, which is all going to be right. So and that's, you got the European Union kind of where it's all settling at. Transhumanism. You may not know what exactly transhumanism is. The root belief, I'm going to read a couple things that I just pulled up. Here, biological evolution takes place over generations. But imagine if it could be expedited beyond the incremental change envisaged by Darwin to a matter of individual experience. Such things are dreamt of by so-called transhumanists. The term trans, it started back in the 1990, but it advocates belief in fundamentally enhancing the human condition through applied reason and a corporeal embrace of new technologies rooted in the belief that humans can and will be enhanced by genetic engineering, information technology of today, as well as anticipated advances such as bioengineering, artificial intelligence, molecular nanotechnology. The result is, you know, Homo sapiens can be enhanced or augmented, but still fundamentally human. So that's kind of the idea. It's bringing technology and genetics together. Look, any premise that anything that starts with a faulty premise is going to end up with a faulty solution. They believed it is a part of the evolution of man, right? Biological evolution. That it's eventually to be overtaken by advances in genetic, wearable, and implantable technologies that artificially expedite the evolutionary process. Yeah, it was so that's kind of what they're heading towards. Augmented human being, augmented lives. All right. And so we had this great reset. It's going to be a convergence of all things. Will be man controlled, and so we can look at all the things that happened in 2023 politically, economically, all the other things. They're like I said, they're just smoke screens. This is the main thing, right? Moving forward, that everything is converging towards transhumanism, and we're going to see that is going to be. Run by AI. And just so you know, I'm going to use the correct term tonight. It's not logarithms, it's algorithms. I know you all wanted to jump out of your skin and correct me that last Wednesday. But transhumanism is the new global religion, which everything is going to be controlled under transhumanism. It's the merging of man with a digital god. AI is going to be the vehicle that will pull this all together. And we've talked about it, that AI, those that are developing AI, have developed AI, believe that they are developing their own god. Because it has greater capacity. And I was thinking about this. I do not believe anything man-made has a greater capacity than anything that is God-created. Because we only use very little of our mind, some of us less than others. But the organic mind, I believe, is capable of more than anything man could come up with. If we were able to use 100% of it, like Adam and Eve probably were able to in the garden. It's very interesting that, you know, this transhuman time that we're in, you know, God said, as the times and days of Noah, so will come into the Son of Man be. It is not going to enhance. It's because, like I said, because it has a faulty premise, it's going to have a faulty result. It's going to come to a faulty end, and God sees that. And he said, and the scripture says, if God weren't to act as quickly as he is going to act, man's going to wipe himself out. So, transhumanist. Did I miss one? Hold on just a second. Oh, there it is. Elon Musk. Neuralink wins FDA approval for human study of brain implants. Do you know that that's one of the things that he's... And that's why he has a lot to say about AI, because he so much of what he's doing is geared towards AI, brain implants, right? Coming together of technology and genetic manipulation and everything else. They have approved human study. He's been doing it on animals. And it's taken a little while. The interesting thing about this, and we're going to see, he's not the only one that's doing it. It's already being developed. Neuralink. You have Neuralink. You have BlackRock, that is the largest investing capital investor on the planet. There's $12 trillion in investments right now. They have neurotech, and then there's a place called Synchron that is working on brain and AI intersection. And you can read about all this stuff. They're all doing it. They're all trying to figure out ways to take an implant. Here's one of the things that they say: to help the lame to walk and the blind to see. They think they're taking God's place. The interesting thing about right after the announcement that for Musk's Neuralink, it was right after that he went to Israel and met with Benjamin Netanyahu. Israel is one of the leading leaders in technology and everything else on this planet. And some are speculating that it was more than just to see what was going on, the devastation, you know, the murder of the Israelis and the war that was going on in Gaza, but that there might have been a meeting concerning what's going on with this Neuralink, and with Israel. So, very interesting. It is the new techno-religion driven by, and we talked about last week, how they are infiltrating, especially our youth, but probably by way of ignorance, and I don't say it in a bad way, but by way of ignorance, everybody that is captivated by that electronic device that they have and the multimedia, TikTok, Snapchat, the metaverse, you know, everything that they're offering right now, and the reels, and the embedding of certain things in the influencers, and then the using of AI and the to develop, and it's AI is they're using AI for the algorithms that are bringing these things, and that's why they're popping up on your screens. AI is going to control and manipulate the algorithms that will monitor everything you do and everything you see. That's what all this is happening, the development of it and you know what they're using it for. You will have to ultimately prove you are an actual living human being through biometrics. We're going to see because of one of the things, the deception that comes with AI. So you have face scans, eye scans, fingerprints, everything that's going on with your phone, in the banks, everything. If you're being scanned biometrically, it's all being collected so that you can prove that you exist. Even your thoughts are going to be linked to algorithms so that you can be they can manipulate your behavior. That's what this is. That's what this is all heading towards. And if I would have said this 20 years ago, yeah, you're nuts. This is what's happening. This is where it's all, because it's all a preparation for a global governance, for one that will come on the scene. And they need to keep track of everybody. And there are going to be dissenters and everything else. They will control all misinformation that you receive. You see that whole struggle with information, what's misinformation, what they, you know, the lies that they're sending out are the real information, and the truth that people are trying to tell everybody is the misinformation. And so what you're just going to get is misinformation. It's all going to be controlled through AI and algorithms and the things that they send you. It's already happening. And the saddest thing is, and we just saw that there's going to be a falling away. It's already started. The strong delusion is being manifested, and the deception has been, it's being accepted into the church. Lack of discernment and relying on it. And here's the thing. We have to live within what's going on. We have to figure out how we're going to, right? How we're going to walk and to live within these things that are going on, because they're infiltrating everything and they're controlling everything. We have to be wise about what we open ourselves up to and what we don't. ChatGPT delivers sermon to packed German church. German in Bavaria. The German, I'm trying to think, why can't I think of words? It was a, what do we go to when we go to Merritt Island?
Conference.
A conference. This is terrible. It was a conference of Protestant churches in southern Germany, and they decided that they would have ChatGPT write up the sermon, the message, at one of the churches. About 300 or 400 people attended it. The avatar and everything, and the main message was, and some thought it was a pretty solid church service. One, a 54-year-old said, "Hey, there was no heart and no soul." And that is the truth of the matter. There is the absence of the Holy Spirit in that. And the scary thought is there are probably a lot of late, and one of the things that came out of the emergent church and the seeker-friendly church during that time that progressivism and relativism came in was that, and people, the elders, we got together and almost laughed about this, but that you could get a sermon in a box because pastors needed to spend less time in preparing a message so that they could spend more time in ministering to the body and the congregants and stuff like that, which is completely backwards. Because my ministry to you is first the Word of God, right? What God has called us to. And then within that, ministering to you. But you could get a sermon in a box already prepared by some of the big pastors around and stuff like that. And with props and everything. Clown noses and clown hair. Dead serious. It became a thing. How does this enter in? That's the way that it enters in, right? The absence of the Word of God and relying on the Word of God. And so the deception is being accepted into the church. Let's just have artificial intelligence put together a sermon. That ultimately, and they said, that you don't need to fear death. Now, and keep your faith in Jesus Christ, which is true. But understand, transhumanism believes that this intersection of technology and humanism is going to bring about the ability to live forever. It all revolves on healthier lifestyles, living longer, all this other stuff, that ultimately you will be able to transfer you into a robot or an avatar or something else that will be able to carry you on forever. A new body. What does that sound like? It's man trying to play God. It's Satan counterfeiting what God has promised us. My Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you because I want you to be where I am, right? A new body, eternal life. Transhumanism believes that it can offer mankind, humanity, eternal life. This is real. This is the plan. This is what this is all about. The spirit of deception. You will integrate your genetic self into a tech clone that will live on. And there's no spirit in that. That's not of the Holy Spirit. But the church actually, and the truth of the matter is, sadly, there are probably a lot of pastors that are having an artificial intelligence arrange their sermons. Maybe because they feel inadequate or they just don't trust in the Lord or the Holy Spirit to meet them and prepare them to go up and to give the Word of God. I have a series. I can be like all the other churches that have series. Everybody wants to have a series. Right now, we're in the series of Ephesians, and after the series of Ephesians, we'll be in the series of Philippians. But for some reason, it's already been done in a church in Germany. And here's the scary thing. You ever heard of deepfake? That was one of the things that all the actors in Hollywood are worried about. AI's ability to clone somebody now. But there's ways that they can figure that out. You know, I was thinking about this. Ultimately, how can Antichrist be mortally wounded and then be brought back to life? There's going to be a deepfake, right? So it's already being prepared, all the things that are going on. And they're molding this generation, and they're molding our societies right now. AI has been at work, and the algorithms have been at work in multimedia, in those electronic devices that you have. And the only reason I'm telling you this is be aware and be wise. They're a great tool, but they may make you a tool for their bidding. Just be careful, all right? Deep fake. The last revival that Calvary Chapel was the part of back in the 60s and 70s was mainly because people were spending more time in something else other than what they're spending their time in today. I love how Pastor Joe put it. Pastor Joe Foch said, the church needs to turn its attention to a different Facebook, or needs to get its face back in the book that God has provided for us. Amen. More time needs to be spent in that book. More time needs to be spent, I'm hearing it more and more. I miss being with God at church. I watch it online. I just talked to somebody tonight, and every week I'm hearing this. Yeah, I just stay home. It's just not the same as being there. Being with God's people and being in worship together. Yet we have made all kinds of ways that people don't need to do that, but that's what we need. And I believe the only way that there's going to be revival is not going to be through all of these technological advances and all these other different things. Us, you know, raging against the machine, standing up, and we want this person in politics. We don't want this. The only way is if we have a spirit, if the church has a movement of a spiritual getting their face back in God's book and being led and guided and gaining discernment from that instead of what we're being told and what's being delivered to us. Because I'm going to tell you, just as I said, things embedded, there are algorithms. It's about sending you all the misinformation that you can possibly get. If you're being led by that electronic, by a screen or electronic device, you're in trouble. It's the truth. Oh, you're a downer. You're Debbie Downer, Pastor Bill. You know, electronics, the wave of the future, and you know, it can all be used. Yes, it can all be used for good. That's not what their intent is. Just so you know. You know? So be wise about how you use it. Really, the more it should be used more by the church for outgoing information, right, than incoming. That's how you protect yourself from it. But all the things that are going on, everything that we see going on, as I said, it's just a smoke screen for what they have been devising behind the scenes, and a convergence, right, and a preparation for the coming Antichrist. Is there going to be upheaval in 2024? Probably. Don't know. You know, that's really, we're to live trusting in the Lord, right? Amen. The church. And live wisely. Probably need to take inventory of what we've opened ourselves up to. I just got a letter that somebody tried to take a loan out from a company I didn't even know about. And that AI is going to do all that stuff. You know, you have people, the terrorists that are calling people and saying, we have your daughter. That's what they're using, that deep fake voices, likenesses, everything else. What's coming, it's going to be chaos ultimate at some point. So I think we can, if we're wise and prepared, we can protect ourselves from a lot of what's coming. Because ultimately, the manipulation and control that's going to come from the technology, I don't believe we're not going to have to weather the worst of that, because we're going to be in a different presence. We're going to be at a wedding feast and celebrating with our groomsmen, the Savior of our souls, right? But we're going to get a glimpse of what Satan's plans are for this world. And that's what I think we need to focus on, the Word of God. It warns us, it tells us what's coming. Jesus told us all the signs, right? And the way that we deal with it or combat it is trust in Him. The church that is commended at the end is, you have been faithful to my word and you have not denied my name. We need to be faithful to his word, not deny his name. The original Facebook, being in his word. And he can be, listen, I don't get, people are mad. Yeah, you hate Facebook. That's fine. You can communicate through that. Just know there are dangers. Be wise. Amen. Amen. Lord, I just pray that you would draw us even closer to you in these times. Lord, we know you've told us, just as you told the children of Israel when you were coming. Lord, you have given us signs. You have made us aware of the time of your return for your beloved, for your church. Lord, we see it very clearly, even as Satan is preparing this world for his time, his moment, that he thinks he probably is even going to get away with it and see his way through it. But we just pray, Lord, that you would protect us. You would protect your children and your church, Lord. And even so, Lord, come. We just want you to come. It's time. But certainly also, Lord, we desire that you meet with us daily to comfort us, give us peace. Lord, that your grace would cover us and be sufficient in these days, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
One more thing, and this kind of, Lord, put on my heart, and I was thinking about it. One of the other things that the revival came out of, that revival, was not only being in the Word of God and what the Word of God did, but one thing I remembered when I was going to Calvary Chapel is everybody carried a Bible. I know that we can have it electronically or anything like that, but I just challenge you, this is not a legal thing. While they're still in print and while you could still get them, get a Bible, paper, ink, you know. I just ordered 10 more for the, and the reason why, my son yesterday said, because he's got a teen Bible, and he said, Dad, will you get me an adult Bible? I said, I'll get you an adult Bible. You know, I said, I'll give you my ESV. I said, but it's got some reform stuff, and you kind of got to be a theologian to kind of wade through some of the stuff. And what's, he goes, well, I want to read all of it, so get me one that I can read everything. And you know, and it just kind of hit me. Get a Bible. Have it in your hand. There's something about that. We've, you know, listen, don't evolve with the rest of humanity. Just Jacob, I got a Bible coming for you, just so you know. Pastor Chuck's study Bible, and so we got some extras, and we can get them for you if you want to get one. But man, you know, nothing tickles me more than everybody. And this isn't to I don't want anybody to feel, oh man, I don't bring my. I'm just encouraged. I want to encourage you. Carry it with you. Bring it in. You know, and it's such a. Let's see what the Lord's going to do. Amen. Amen. Amen.